Baptism and the Holy Spirit. Here is a passage from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of the great love he had for us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, brought us to life with Christ. By grace you have been saved, raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavens in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. This is the amazing good news that Jesus came to bring. After the fall, after Adam and Eve committed original sin, it was impossible for mankind to enter into God's good graces again. There was nothing we could do to justify ourselves. There were no actions we could take to make ourselves worthy of God's love or deserve anything but condemnation. But because of God's mercy, he looked down on us with love and decided that, even though we were unlovable in our sinful state, he would do something to rescue us from the life of degradation we had brought upon ourselves. Paul explains this in Romans chapter 5. You see, at just the right time, while we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There is no question of our deserving some reward for good behaviour. God loves us so much that he sent Jesus to free us from bondage to sin and death. We have been made new creations through our baptism. We are reconciled to God once again and restored to our rightful status as children of God. What this means is that when we die, we are no longer condemned to hell for the rest of eternity. We are set free from our bondage to sin. Our baptism gives us the power to stop sinning and to live a holy life. And all of this he gives us as a free gift. The only response he wants from us is accepting the gift of salvation and thanking him for his incredible kindness and generosity. So what should we do to accept this gift of salvation? Well, the first thing we can do is cast ourselves into the arms of our Heavenly Father and entrust our lives to him. As Peter urges us in his first letter, chapter 5, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, so that in due time he may exalt you. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. We can give our lives to him and say to him, do with me what you will, knowing that he loves us. When we give our lives over to God and let him into our hearts, things begin to change. We begin to be aware of the ways in which we are still partnering with the enemy of our souls. We begin to perceive the ways in which our lives are not conformed to the love of God. We begin to acknowledge the ways in which we have allowed things in our lives that are rivals to God, things that don't really help us to live out the life of virtue. But when we give in to God and ask for his Holy Spirit and allow him to work in our lives, we are also empowered to love him back. And, moreover, we are empowered to love other people. As St. John says in his first epistle, chapter 4, we love because he loved us first. We read in the book of Acts, chapter 2, about the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, there was a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The disciples who, up till then, had been cowering in an upper room, suddenly became bold and courageous. They gave in to the power of the Holy Spirit and began to work miracles and proclaim the good news of reconciliation with God. God wants us to have the Holy Spirit too. He wants to set us free just like the first apostles. He wants us to experience the power of the Holy Spirit descending upon us. This gift of the Holy Spirit is for everyone, not just for those we might consider holy. Remember that the disciples were not exactly an impressive group of people. Few, if any, of them were of noble birth or any special standing in the world. Some of them, like St. Matthew and St. Mary Magdalene, had been social outcasts and public sinners. The Holy Spirit has been given to us in baptism, but for many of us that gift has lain dormant ever since. Many of us have never experienced the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that the first disciples experienced. But this so-called baptism in the Holy Spirit is there, waiting for us. Baptism in the Holy Spirit is really a deeper experience of God. It's an encounter with God in a real way. So, what might you experience when you ask for the Holy Spirit? Well, you might experience intense joy or peace. You might feel liberated from a feeling of oppression or depression. You might feel God's presence close to you. You might not have any emotional experience at the time, but may have an awakening of your baptism in some way later. Some people might not experience anything at all because there may be a blockage of some kind. In this case, it would be wise to seek prayer ministry to free whatever is hindering you from receiving the Holy Spirit. Some people experience a true love for Jesus, a strong desire to learn more about him and to do his will by serving others. In other words, they want to share Jesus with everyone. So what changes would I notice in my life? What does the Holy Spirit do? He can guide us through life if we listen to him. He can equip us to tell others the good news of salvation. He can empower us to heal and work miracles in order to accompany our proclamation of the gospel. He can remove obstacles that stop us from entering into complete union with God. He can console us and comfort us in our suffering. He can give us hope for heaven and joy even in this life. He gives us the grace to love God and our neighbour. He gives us the fruits of the Holy Spirit, among which are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The Holy Spirit is also the source of the charismatic gifts we hear about in the New Testament. For example, preaching, prophecy, evangelization, teaching, words of knowledge, the gifts of healing, miracles, visions, discernment of spirits, the gift of praying in tongues, prophecy in tongues, interpretation of prophecy in tongues. All we have to do is ask God to pour out his Holy Spirit upon us anew, because the Holy Spirit is free to anyone who asks. Let's pray right now and ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I ask you to pour out upon me your Holy Spirit so that I can live the life of love and freedom that you have gained for me through the power of your rising. Come, Holy Spirit, fill me, renew me, empower me and enrich me with your powerful presence. Pour out onto me whatever gifts you wish me to have for the building up of your kingdom. Open my heart and cause to well up in me the fruits of your Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I open myself to the power of your Holy Spirit. Move and breathe in me. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen.